Father, thank you for giving us opportunities. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you. You're always there. You're always worthy. You're always able to help us in our time of need. And Lord, the song we just sang, that the setting aside the cares and concerns and the things of the world, how difficult that is, Lord, to still our hearts and to still our minds in order to hear from you. Please, Lord, tonight, to all who are listening, to us here, to those wherever they may be, I pray that you encourage, you lift up, and that you saturate every one of us with your strength, your mercy, your grace, and your love. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I'm going to have you turn to Philippians chapter 2. And you're going to just going to stay there for a little bit. We will be getting into it. Philippians chapter 2. Title for tonight is Potential with a Purpose. As Pastor Bill speaks and has been speaking about the potential that we have as Christians, and each of the last three Sundays we've had the messages concerning where we're headed as a church in 2013 and the potential that we have to make a difference in the world, I set out where you sit, and I listen, and I ask myself questions just as he speaks. I ask myself about potential I have. What can I do? How can I make a difference where I'm at? Should I be doing more? Should I be doing less? When I get done with one of the services, because I'm listening basically to two services each Sunday because I come up and pray after first service with the people in the front, I feel like I've been through a paper shredder. Because I ask myself so many questions about should I, shouldn't I, can I, why didn't I, could I have, and if I had, of what would have happened if I had done what I wanted to do at the time. It's a whole different view from down there than it is from up here. And as I ask myself over the past 30 years, this is my 30th year of being a pastor, I ask myself the opportunities that I may have had, that I missed because maybe I wasn't paying attention. And then the enemy starts making me feel guilty about it. And I know the enemy is alive and real. And if he's alive and real, just think how much more alive and real our Lord is and able to help. Was I was thinking about age and the title, Potential with a Purpose. An old Hebrew children's nighttime story came to my mind that I remembered from years ago. And I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to get into the message because it does deal with the idea of the story about potential and about purpose and what, at one time, the Hebrews used to tell their children about God's creation. The story goes like this. Originally, God created certain animals and men with potential and purpose in mind and years that they were going to live, the story goes. God created the mule and told him, "You shall be mule, working constantly from dusk to dawn to dusk, carrying heavy loads on your back. You will eat grass, lack intelligence, be continually stubborn, and mule, you will live for 50 years. The mule answered, "To live like this for 50 years is too much. Please, give me no more than 20. And it was so. And then God created the dog and told him, "You will be dog. You will hold vigilance over the dwellings of man, to whom you will be his greatest companion. You will eat his table scraps and live for 25 years. To which the dog answered, "Lord, to live 25 years as a dog is too much. Please, no more than 10 years. And it was so. Then God created the monkey, told him, "You will swing from tree to tree acting like an idiot. You will be a barrel of laughs, and you shall live for 20 years. The monkey answered, "Lord, to live for 20 years as the clown of the world is too much. please give me no more than 10 years and let that be my purpose. And it was so. Finally, God created man. He told him, you are man, the only rational being that walks the earth. You will use your intelligence to have dominion over all the other creatures of the earth, and you will live for 20 years. And man responded, Lord, to be man for only 20 years is too little. Please also give me the 30 years the mule refused, the 15 years the dog didn't want, and the 10 years the monkey rejected. And it was so. So God made man to live 20 years as a man, then marry, have children, live 15 years like a dog, guarding his house and eating the leftover scraps that his children leave behind after they empty the refrigerator and the cupboards. Then you will live 30 years like a mule, working and carrying heavy loads on your back from dusk to dawn to dusk. Finally, in his old age, man will live 10 years as a monkey, acting like a clown to amuse his grandchildren, swinging from trees and swinging them back and forth. And it was so forevermore. Amen. To which the children would then be asleep, hopefully. The first time I heard this story, it was a good 20, 25 years ago. And now I'm on this side of the story. This many years, and it's true. I've done these things. In fact, I'm still doing some of them, and it makes me think about potential with a purpose. It just went along with the title very well. But I believe with what Pastor Bill has been teaching us for the past three Sundays, that he's broadened my horizons of potential and what we can do with whatever time we have. Well, we can, the capabilities we have if we will allow the Lord to do it through us instead of doing it ourselves, which is where I run into trouble so much of the time and get completely worn out. I believe Pastor Bill has been excellent in laying out points and causing us to ask ourselves questions, inspiring us to ask ourselves questions about where we stand with the Lord and the potential that he's given to us. And tonight, I hope I don't make a big mess out of what he's tried to teach us over the last 3 weeks. But I believe that God's potential and God's purpose has to have God's power involved in it. Or it's nothing more than something that's going to wear you out in a ministry or a mission or whatever you may be doing. I believe that potential with God's purpose and God's power involved in it can be the most effective, potent element in the world today, and therefore it can also be the most wasted element in the world today. The potential that we're given, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. Tonight I want to bring out just a few keys of maybe helping you from, because I've said on your side enough times now, helping you to help me to understand how best I can use my potential once I get back on that side of the pulpit again. And I believe all of those keys, there are five of them in this little section of Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Now first, let me read the scripture to you, and then we're going to pick out each key that's involved there to use. Chapter 2, Philippians, starting with verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both the will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, nor labored in vain. The first key is obedience. And Pastor Bill has went over that very well over the last 3 weeks. I ask myself the question, how important is obedience? It's one of the very central elements of the idea of using our potential. Am I always obedient to the Lord's voice? No. Would I like to be? Yes. Have I wished that I had listened more closely in the past? Yes. But I didn't. Thank God for God's grace. Thank God, as I was telling my wife earlier, we were coming here, thank God that God, when he, God the Father, looks down at me, he sees his son Jesus and not what I see in the mirror. Thank God that when God the Father, as a result of sanctification, looks at you at times, filled with the Spirit, he sees his son Jesus and not you. Thank God that I can look from this position to the Father through the Son. And I see someone who's always there with me and for me and able to empower me. The first key is obedience, where he says, therefore, my beloved. And I like this. He says, as you have always obeyed. But I haven't always obeyed. But Paul takes it for granted that you know you should. That we should be obedient, shouldn't we? You don't have to teach your kids how to mess up, do you? Well, you don't have to teach adults how to mess up either. We're good at it. Look at America today. It's a mess, isn't it? We're good at making messes. And God is better at cleaning them up. Thank God again. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my, as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Before I knew much about the scripture, when I first read that verse, I was scared. So am I really saved? Am I supposed to try to work? Am I supposed to save myself? And then tonight, right before we came over, I heard on the news they got this thing coming. It says some special on TV now. It says that, what do you do when you think no one's watching? Do you know God's always watching you? Do you know, do you truly believe that, that God has always watched you? Because sometimes I act like I don't. Paul's taking it for granted when he writes this letter. He said, therefore, as you have always obeyed, not just because I'm around, but in my absence, you've listened to what I've taught you and you're still obeying it. On Sunday the 27th, Pastor Bill asked the question, how important is obedience? Well, basically, disobedience defeats potential. Disobedience mars it, stains it, deceives it, misguides it, makes it of no effect. That's how important obedience is. That's the question I asked myself as I heard him speaking that one Sunday. How important is obedience? Then why don't I always obey? I don't know. It's because I'm human. And then you say, well, that's just an excuse. It's a truth. Even Paul, chapter 7 of Romans, he said, Paul, of all people, the things that I want to do, I end up not doing them. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of flesh? Seems like sometimes the Spirit is so willing, but the Scripture also says it's so weak, isn't it? But maybe yours is a lot stronger than mine is. Maybe you've learned how to conquer it so that maybe you never disobey. I pray that would be the case for you here tonight. How important is obedience? It's one of the most important elements, keys, and the whole idea of letting our potential do what it's supposed to do, be used of the Lord to change people's lives. Yet when we disobey, which we all have and will at times, and if any of you're in here that have never disobeyed, you're in the wrong audience tonight, because you're one perfect and a bunch of black sheep. Because most of us have blown it. I ran into this beautiful verse in Micah. It was on a little devotional. Listen to what it states in Micah chapter 7, verse 19. If we've blown it, he says, He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Potential with purpose, used correctly, allows us through repentance and forgiveness to be used to help change others' lives. We've all got our stories. We've all done something that we don't want anybody to know about. You can't get them by God. But know this, that God is the great forgiver, that God uses people like us, gives us potential we don't deserve, saves us when we come to Him, cleans us up, and then uses us to change other people's lives. A devil doesn't do that. He works just the opposite way. He takes something that God has used for good and tries to use it for evil, but God still takes it and uses it for good. Genesis 50:20, story of Joseph. He said, hey, don't worry about it. What the enemy meant for evil, God uses for good. We mess up, God forgives when you come to Him. Potential with purpose causes sins or disobedience to be subdued, sinners to be forgiven through repentance. Charles Spurgeon, the great orator, stated, God never turns from His love, but He soon turns from His wrath. You see, because His love is according to His nature, His anger is according to His office. He loves because He is love, and He will subdue our iniquities, though they try to enslave us. Sin shall not have dominion. It will be cast into the depths of the sea. Now back to the last part of verse 12. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Remember, Pastor Bill always teaches us, don't just look at the text, but look at what? The context. And I've taught through this section of scripture over the years. I've taught it to the churches I've been in before that I've pastored. And one of the biggest revelations I ran into was the idea that even though the word work is used here twice, has two totally different meanings to it. This word work means to perform to the finish. You, me, we, as Christians, we perform our salvation. Remember, it's not a two-part act. It's not salvation and get everything just right and then go do something. It's all one action with our potential. You're saved, you're sanctified, you're set, and you go. You do. You find something to use your potential on. You find out what is the gift that God has given you that can change the world. This word work means to perform to the finish, to the completion of the work begun. Because potential with a purpose causes performance. Can't help it. Once you're saved, you're so happy to be saved. Do you remember that time? I remember back when I was saved the very first time in that little country church, and I hadn't done that many things wrong. I was probably about maybe 7,000 or 8,000 by the time I was 10. Not keeping track. My dad was, so I wasn't. But I knew at that time that Jesus came into my heart, and He wasn't just visiting. He took up residence in that little country church. Now, after that, I walked away from Him for years. Got far away as I could, but you know what? He never gave up on me. Ever. Never gave up on me. Because He knew that down inside there someplace was some potential, and He was going to use it in some way. And no one is more surprised than my wife about how He's used me. Trust me. Your wife, your husband, they know you. I mean, they know everything, basically, and let's go somewhere else from there. Let's go back to the potential there. And the point is this. Look, don't go halfway with your salvation. Don't, you know what's the old term when we had the old wooden pews? Don't be a pew potato. Don't sit there and just fill a seat. I remember 1983 when I had come back to the Lord in the Calvary Chapel in Visalia, California. I pinned the pastor up against the back wall of the YMCA, right in his face, and I said, God has called me to be a preacher. What do I do? True story. He was a little shorter than me, but he was scared to death. I found that out later. He said he couldn't back up. He was against a wall. He said, go over to that guy that's stacking chairs and help him. I became an usher. You see, when you get saved, you want to do something with it. You don't just want to sit and keep taking in and fat. You don't want to be a little fat little Christian, right? You know what I mean? It used to fill with scripture. Somebody pokes you and out pops 93 scriptures. Never used them, but I know them. Big hug. Out spurts the New King James, chapter 7. You want to be lean and mean Christian. You know that I remember the first time somebody used the phrase, I think it was Raul Reese. I'll give him the credit for it. He said, I don't want to be a Rambo. I want to be a Lambo. Mean and lean as a Christian, using my potential. Don't go halfway. Don't do Christianity in bits and pieces when there's a whole parcel to take. It's a package deal, you see, that he gives to us. Don't be satisfied with just a little bit when there's so much that you possess, the potential. God's given us so much here in America. And he said, so much is unused. And I'm guilty of it too. I mean, I get in my world at the other jobs I work, and I build a shell, you see, around me so I can concentrate, you know, and I don't always use the potential that God's given me to use. I want to be more used. I want you to want to be more used. Pastor Bill wants you to want to be more used. I know he does. God wants to use you to change the world. Whoever you are, he wants to use you to change somebody else's life. And this leads us on to the second key. Let God work. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is who? God who works in you both the will and to do for his good pleasure. Whose pleasure? His. So there's got to be some action going on here that's going to give God some pleasure. Something you're doing that we're doing in our Christian walk with our potential. For it's God who works in you both the will and to do for his good pleasure. When I found out the meaning of the second word in the Greek, and I, Pastor Thomas, he really is, he has studied Greek. He does know Greek. And I took a little Greek. And I learned the alphabet and I learned some words. And I found out that there was this thing called Greek cognates. Changed my life. You know what that means? That means that a word in the Greek, we get one of our English words from and it sounds like it. And this word is the word energy or inertia in the Greek. Perform what God has given you and I to do with whose energy? His. For it's God who works, energizes you to perform his will. You don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. I don't have to make something happen. Holy Spirit does it. All we do is show up for the show. And he uses us. Does that blow your mind? When I found this out, it totally changed my way of thinking about God. God energized, and this was I found this out so long ago. It was when they first came out with the Energizer Bunny. True story. And I see this little bunny running around, and I learn that Greek word. God gives me the energy to do what he wants me to do. I don't have to make it happen. I just allow him to work through me. God arouses, stirs. This word work means he energizes the heart of the believer to do God's will. God is working within us, energizing us, giving us both the will and the power to do what pleases him with the potential he's given us. Beautiful section of scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. You didn't save yourselves. You've been saved by grace. It's not of works, because you would boast about it. It's a gift, a free gift from God. He says then that he gives us the opportunity then to perform with the potential and the gifts he's given us. He gives us opportunity to use them. And then what do we do sometimes? Did you see what I did? I witnessed to 700 people yesterday. And that's what happens when we think we're doing it ourselves. We start bragging, you see. When it's God using these tents, these houses, these tabernacles, these bodies of flesh, these mounds, he uses us to change somebody's life, and we take credit for it. That's when potential is working the wrong way. Potential is put to work with Jesus being the source and the energy. If you're doing a ministry on your own, you're going to get defeated. You're going to get disheartened. You're going to get worn out. But if you're doing what God has asked you to do with his power, the power of his spirit, it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And see, I forget that. I get me up in front. I get too much thinking about I've got to do this when God's going to do it through us. The potential's there. He's given us the energy, meaning leave God alone and let him work in you, basically. Get out of the way sometimes. Get the flesh out of the way and let the Spirit operate. Let him use our potential. The point to see is that God is forever working within the Christian at every moment. Even if we're not even thinking about it sometimes, he's still working in it. When we're sleeping at night, God is still keeping watch over us. Every one of us that are his. He says, not a one of you. He says even that if a sparrow falls to the ground, he knows it. And how much more important are you and I than a sparrow? God uses our potential with a purpose. Third key. And this is where preachers really get in trouble. One thing you never want to run into on a Sunday is if you've missed church and you see the preacher at a restaurant afterwards. Guarantee you, you're going to get the message anyway. Tell you the whole story. Happens. The third key is don't waste your words. How does that happen? Look at verse 14. Do all things without what? Without complaining and disputing. In the Old King James, it says, do all things without murmurings and dispute. Murmuring. I love that word, don't you? It makes me feel good just to say it, murmuring. I've heard so much murmuring over 30 years. I've heard more murmuring. See, it's like little static in the background. You know, find them in churches in cliques. You know, you get these little bundles of people. Did you hear what the pastor just said? I can't believe it. I think I'll go out and tell 500 people. Wait, they've got the internet. Let's use it. He says, do what? How many things? All things. And I'm guilty, you guys. I'm guiltier than all of you, probably. I complain at times. Just ask my wife. I do. I can complain about the way the cloud came in the sky. Look, it blocked the sun. I was cold. You do all things without murmuring. Here's what it means. Murmuring means to mutter, mumble, grumble, and complain. It means the quiet, soft, behind-the-back undertone of murmuring and grumbling. Okay, news to you, probably, some of you. I've started 2 Calvary chapels and pastored in about 5. I have split churches before, and I've had worship leaders split churches, and I've had assistant pastors split churches. You can split a church. It's so easy to split a church. Just mess with a thermostat. I'm too cold. I'm too hot. One time I made the stupid move of, I've made a couple, at least 3. Now I'm not keeping track of that either. I'm sure someone is. But I asked one time, how many in our church in Arizona, I said, audience about like this, said, how many believe you can lose your salvation? 1/3 of the hands went up. How many believe you can't lose your salvation? 1/3 of the hands went up. How many don't care? 1/3 of the hands went up. How many are too cold? 1/3 of the hands went up. How many are too... So if you get caught up in this murmuring, grumbling, complaining, guess what? You're wasting God's time. Stop wasting time. Saying to my wife on the way, you know, we get to talk a lot in the car. And I said, I'm going to be 61 this year. That means I only have so many hours left. See, I used to think in tens of years, not in hours. Now I'm thinking in hours. God help me. See, I could live to be 100. God help you. See, I just murmuring, I don't want to waste time on stuff like criticism and gossiping and grumbling and murmuring and fault finding and all that stuff that goes on. You know what? I don't want to waste words anymore. I want to say things that count, you know, and I don't all the time, but I want to. I really do want to. Pray for me. I'll pray for you to want to make your words count. Potential with purpose. Now here comes a lot of P's. Potential with purpose packs power when there's praise instead of pandering to these little groups of dissatisfied people within a church. Because all they're going to do is end up trying to split it, and then they'll go to another, and it'll happen there, and it'll happen. I've seen it over 30 years all over the place. Enough said. Let's go forward. The fourth key. Don't be a waster of words, but the key is to be a shiner. Philippians 2:15. Why don't you want to be all doing this murmuring and grumbling and get all mixed up in that stuff and wasting words? Because that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Is that beautiful? Isn't that so different than the verse we just read? You know, do all things without murmuring and complaining, but hey, be shiners. Shine. Shine like light. You know, when Jesus is working through you, that's when people see Jesus. You know, it's not some... I'll never forget, we had in fact, one of the pictures that was up on the worship scenes in the background, I told my wife, looked like Sedona, Arizona. Creek that goes through there. Or first pastor, that area. And we had an artist, she was in her 80s, and she was a well-known artist at the time. I can't remember her name, but she came to church and got saved right before she died. And right before she died, she decided she was going to paint a picture of a man she saw in the church that greeted her because he looked like Jesus to her. She painted a picture, it was like 4x6, an oil painting before she died, still in the church in Arizona that I'm aware of. And it was a picture of one of our ushers. It's the first picture I ever saw of a picture of someone that was supposedly Jesus smiling with a smile. You see these wimpy pictures of Jesus, you go, my goodness. He looks like he's straining out the world. God, listen. God loves you beyond your wildest imagination. You can't even begin to understand how much he cares for you. She painted that picture. She said, I want to give it to the church. I want it to be part of the church. So we did. We hung it up in the church. One day, a little girl, before the kids were dismissed to children's church, a little girl, she was a special needs little girl, a little Down syndrome girl. She walks right by the picture and says, hi, Jesus, in front of the whole church and keeps walking. See, the church went silent because that's what Jesus looked like to her. Someone smiling at her, not with a grimace or, you know, like the old Man River song, you know, tote that barge and lift that bell, get a little drunk, you'll land in jail, old Man River. Sometimes that's the way we are as Christians. We're not letting the Spirit work through us. And people see it in our face. Are we always, you know, shining, you know, radiant? No, not always. But I'm going to tell you a little secret. Don't you tell nobody else. Usually, I think that God allows himself to be shown through you when you don't even know it. You know why? Because you're like me. You brag. See what Jesus did through me? See, we get caught up into that. I believe I've seen Jesus in some of you at times. You didn't even know that I saw Jesus in you. That's potential, you see, being used of the Lord. Jesus smiling upon you. Always taking care of you. Be a shiner. Our potential is unlimited when we allow the Lord to help us to live that blameless, that sanctified, that faultless, that pure life at times that we want to live in the church and in the world. Yet our potential is limited when we join in the ways of the world, as Pastor Bill has been reminding us over the past three Sundays on the New Year's Eve message, the things that can dim our lights and stop us from shining. Paul stated concerning the church, and Paul, of course, wrote Philippians that we're reading in tonight. He wrote to the Roman church in chapter 16, verse 19. He says, for your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Wisdom in the good things. Potential being used by the Lord. How do we not get polluted by the world, though? I ask myself that question as I set out in your place. When Pastor Bill said, how do I stop from being polluted by the world? I don't always. It rubs off on you at times. You can't help it. It's around you all the time. Did you know that? Constantly, the world is trying to get at you. It states in Psalm chapter 18, verse 28, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. You need your light lit. Remember Jose Feliciano? Light my fire. You want your fire lit? Let God use your potential. Things will start changing. The world will start changing. You and I and those around you will be better for it. And you remember one of Pastor Bill's studies from chapter, I think it was the first one he started in the series, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. It was on the 20th. You are the light of the world, Christians. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So light up. Let Jesus light your lamp. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you power. He will. That's all you got to do. It says ask for it. You're struggling tonight. You're struggling during the day. You'd be amazed. You probably do it as much as I, at how many times I call out to Jesus during the day. Not out loud. I'm not going, oh, Jesus, 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 because they think a revival was happening or something. Quietly, I'm saying, Jesus, I need help. Jesus, help. or praying for others, allowing God to light our lamps and keep them lit? Which is another good question. Do you remember, Pastor Bill? I'll never forget it. He said, on 70 words, Abraham left everything he had, his family, everything he built, on 70 words from God. He allowed his potential to be used, and he started a journey that changed the world. Then he took his Bible, you remember? Laid it right there, just like that. He says, on 70 words, Abraham took a journey. We have 66 books of the Bible. How do you keep your lamp lit? The Bible. Stay in the Bible and allow the Spirit to use it. Allow the Bible. I know you, I mean, please don't read and drive. Okay? You can listen and drive. But be in the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. I think it's in chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You guys, we're all Christians, potential dynamos, energy, potential for the Lord to use us when we're in the Bible. We have 66 books, the Word of God, working in a man or a woman of God to change this world for God. Do you know that there's only... There's going to be at one time one last person that's going to be saved before we hear the trumpet. One last person. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if you're leading that person to the Lord and you're, and then poof, you were breathing the stinking earthly air and then you're breathing heavenly air. So go get somebody saved. Right? And then we'll be out of here and I won't live to be 100. Fifth and final key, Philippians 2:16. It's what we hold. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ and that I've not run in vain or labored in vain. The word of life is the only hope for our world today. Listen, another secret, don't tell anybody. But nobody's going to fix the United States outside of Jesus. If you think Congress is going to do it, that's one of those Hebrew fairy tales, okay? If you think the president can do it all, you're wrong again. If you think all of the bunch together with a few nations thrown in can fix the United States, it's not going to happen. Jesus is coming back. Here's the idea. Are you ready? Because that's what's going to fix the world. That's the only thing that could fix the world, is for the Lord Jesus to do it and for us to get out of the way and be used by him so he can get to work on doing it. Talking to people, holding out the word of life for a world that reels, staggering. It says in Scripture that in these days, right before the return of the Lord, that the earth would actually wobble like a drunken man on its axis. Did you know just a few years back they found out that the world is now tilted off a little bit? Did you know that? Did you hear that? It said it in the Scripture, and I had read it. And God said, see, I told you. I said, now you're showing off, God. A world that's reeling under the weight of so many desperate needs, especially the desperate need on when we blow it, when we sin, when we mess up. How do you handle it? The things we hear on the news, dealing with the idea of, you know, if I die, am I with the Lord? Am I without the Lord? What's going to happen after death? All these questions the world has. Guess what? You hold the answer in your Bible. Isn't that something? Jesus in you, the hope of glory. Wow. Powerful. That's powerful stuff. It's that stuff you can't buy. It's free. You get it for free. You take that word in. It says in John chapter 14 that just at the right time, if you need a scripture, God's going to bring it to your mind. It's what he promised. But you got to read it in order to have it in there to come forward. Holding fast the word of life For we're told in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the first part, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power," which is a word where we get dynamite, "it's the power of God for salvation for all who believe." Powerful. That's powerful stuff you got in you, Christianity. And Jesus stated in John chapter 10, verse 28, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Wow. Potential with a purpose being used. Question. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to hear all three of Pastor Bill's messages. I hope you have. If you haven't, I mean, you can go online and get them now. You can go back to the bookstore and you can get them. Please listen to the three of them. You will want to do something. You'll want to encourage someone. You'll want to help somebody. You'll want to get up and do something and not waste time. God's got plans for you. See, young people and middle-aged and people like me, that other group that's somewhere out there, I don't know whether they call me elderly now or not. I get called elderly a lot. I didn't know I was till I got up one morning. But yeah, he's even got potential for me still. If God's got your heart and you got the potential given to you freely, God wants to use it. God wants to use you somehow, somewhere, some way. And I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, ask God how he can use you from what you've heard tonight. Ask God how he can use you. Bow your heads with me, would you please? And if Ken will come up now, I'd like to pray with you. Father, I know that Pastor Bill just recently stated that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, and with the potential that we have, Lord, in you. All that you've done, Lord, I look back over the many years that you have guarded my life and my heart and the mistakes I've made, and you've forgiven and you keep cleansing and refilling and using, and I'm so grateful for that, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. Lord, for each need here tonight, you promise that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Lord, I pray that if hearts are hurting, whoever it may be tonight, that you would heal them, Lord. I pray for those who are sick, Lord, the ones that we continually lift up to you from this church. I pray that you would touch them even now as we think of you and ask you. And Lord, I pray that each one of us here would assist Pastor Bill in letting our potential shine forth by the power of your light and your word. And Lord, we're so grateful for all that you're going to do and how you're going to use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And remember, if you need prayer afterwards, there'll be men up front here who pray with you and help you. And stand now if you would, please. And I really appreciate